in the sale of the bonds that you talked about, other projects, the Lola Cola and the other, I think the Legion landfill, those sold in a day or two, is that correct?
Yes.
And what was the strike that? Was there any discussion in New York or anywhere else that there was a belief that the certificates of participation wouldn't sell quickly?
Objection. Go.
Mr. Grenland, in response to the objection?
Yes, they've indicated that if they don't move forward with this thing immediately, they might not be able to sell these certificates.
I'm going to allow the objection. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to allow the question. The objection is overruled. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Would you like me to repeat the question?
Okay.
In the discussions in New York, when you were there trying to get interest, was there any indication that these certificates of participation would not sell quickly?
To me, from my own perspective, and my staff, and I can speak more specifically on this whole issue, we're very comfortable that investors believe in the Guam story. And they believe that that Guam is the best investment that they can get for investors. And many of them have told us that many of them said to us that they want to seize an opportunity to invest in Guam. They believe the Guam story.
Now, the letter that has been marked Exhibit G, I think you have it in front of you.
Yes, sir.
That's your letter. I believe you indicated that perhaps your staff helped draft it or draft it for you.
My staff and I.
In the letter from Mr. Perez, did he indicate what areas he wished your staff to include in this letter?
I'm sorry?
In the request from Mr. Perez to submit this letter,
yes.
Did he tell you and your staff what areas you should highlight?
No, just all he asked us is to make a request to speak to the issue of the search and changes, and myself and I were involved in getting a response.
Okay. And do you recall what date it was that you received the request from Mr. Perez to prepare a letter of substantial interest?
I don't recall that specifically.
You indicated on direct examination that municipal tax-exempt bonds are less expensive?
Yes.
What do you mean by, you mean the cost of issuing them, or what do you mean by less expensive?
Well, my staff can speak more specifically on all the details of this, and a financial advisor can speak to that issue as well.
So you don't have a direct understanding of that yourself?
I have an understanding, but my staff have a greater involvement in all these issues. I can speak specifically on that.
And who in your staff was the one directly working with you on this project?
Well, we have Tina Garcia, who's the financial service manager, as well as the deputy administrator. We also have Mr. Carlson, the business development and marketing manager, Anthony Nanguero, the financial officer. We also have our financial advisor, Ollie Mikiako.
The Exhibit I, which has been admitted, was the declaration of substantial interest. Do you recall that document? It's a fourth. I don't think you have it in front of you necessarily. May I approach it?
Sure. Could you please identify the document you just handed away?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Rifkin, I've seen this.
On the last page, I believe it bears your signature or the page 404.
This one, yeah.
Or is your signature, or is it signed for you?
Okay.
And it indicates that in paragraph 10, the inability to bring a successful conclusion to the efforts by IDC and its partner, the government of Guam, will likely affect Guam's relationship with investors. How would that be?
An inability to bring a successful completion to the efforts by IBC and its partner, Governor Guam, will likely affect Guam's relationship with the investors and other related parties, not only within the domestic market, but also globally. And the domestic image as a type of business partner in this marketplace may be damaged. And
how would that happen? What do you mean when you say that?
Well, For our own interaction with the investors, we want to make sure that they want to invest in our Guam projects, and naturally when there's protests that happen and another protest that these investors who were prepared to invest will have some concerns and the image with all these situations, people want some comfort.
Okay. Has anyone? I mean, you testified just a few minutes ago that investors believe in the Guam story.
Yes.
Has anybody told you they don't believe in the Guam story anymore?
Well, we hope that they have a believe in Guam story.
Has anyone indicated to you that they no longer believe in that story? Any investors?
Well, I've engaged because we haven't gone out and pursued another financing. We're doing financing, but we're not pursuing on this issue.
So at this point, you haven't discussed anything with anybody, so that hasn't been said one way or the other?
Again,
You said you haven't pursued any more financing of this time.
We're pursuing financing, but you're talking about apples and oranges.
Okay. You haven't gone back to the bond market.
I haven't gone to the bond market.
And so no one, one way or another, has made a comment to you with regard to whether they don't like Guam's story anymore or not.
We haven't heard anything. Okay. To the council.
Right. And it would be fair to say that you haven't heard one way or another whether Guam's, the government's image as a stable business partner in this market has been damaged?
I guess from the perspective of an investor, if people are on investing, they want to make sure that there's comfort that, because when you're paying money, you want to get the best deal you can get. So, like I said, comfort that there's any protests or things of the nature.
But has anyone indicated to you that the government's image as a stable business partner has been damaged?
For government Guam's image, we continue to have these kind of things, and actually, this is a concern, and investors will look at this and say, what's the risk of providing investment?
once again, has anybody indicated to you that the government's image as a stable business partner has been damaged?
I'm talking about specifically my own staff, my financial advisor, and they're telling us that this is they want to make sure that any protests and attacks on government's image, we want the best image we can get for the sake of the territory and the children.
So, is it your staff and your opinion that people shouldn't protest awards of contracts?
You know, I'm going to have to object to that. First of all, it's argumentative. Second, it's irrelevant when his staff feels about protests. His witness is an answer to the fact that it's testified to the fact that because there's a protest, he doesn't come to get a finance. But there's not a question, it's just totally irrelevant.
Mr. Connell, in response to the objection?
Yes, Mr. Camacho, I've asked him the same question three times, and he's danced around it three times and given me different answers. And I took his answer and turned it around back into a question to him, and now they object to it. I just like him to answer my questions.
Okay. As for the objection, I'm going to sustain that. Please proceed, Mr. Connell.
Thank you. Mr. Blass, since August of this year, has anyone in the bond market told you that Guam's image as a stable business partner has been damaged?
Well, he's asked that. That's the identical question that has already been asked and answered. It's repetitive. If you remember, Mr. Camacho, that question was answered and asked and answered, and the witness said yes. Well, what's the point in asking it all over again? So I'm objecting because it is repetitive in your time.
He said the staff had told him that you know, this is, we don't want protests, that we don't like these protests because they might affect me. He's never answered the question.
Yes, I believe that I'm going to overrule the objection. I don't think the witness has answered that. I'm going to admonish the witness to please respond to the question.
Would you like me to repeat it one more time? Since August of 2009, has anyone in the bond market told you that the government's image as a stable business partner has been damaged?
From my perspective, the investors want comfort in investing, and if this tarnish the image of the firm. And our people. That's my perspective.
I'm going to admonish the witness again. I believe he's trying to elicit.
Is there damage?
Me,
I think there's damage.
Excuse me, Mr.
I just said yes.
Okay. I believe he was requesting a yes or no answer.
Yes.
Could you please respond in that manner?
I said yes.
Okay. Who told you that?
From our own perspective, this whole situation, when people who we work with in the other bond issues, and the two bond issues, and the people who were doing this one, the GFA project, these guys want some comfort that they're going to invest in this bond issue, and. And when people prepare and get their financing in place, then all of a sudden a process enters into the picture, and actually they're concerned and goes, well, why should I damage.
You testified that someone told you that Guam's image as a stable business partner has been damaged. I asked you who told you that.
I'm just talking about investors. I guess financial advisor told us that this is a concern. These are concerns.
Who's that financial advisor?
Our financial advisor, Ali Ntiapo.
So this is not someone in the bond market that told you that. It's somebody who works for Gita.
She's a financial advisor, yes.
And when did she tell you that?
No, she's telling me that these are concerns. She made concerns, like I said earlier. They are concerns. And when people make these kind of investments, they want to make sure that they want the best decisions they can make.
When did she tell you that?
Well, she told me on numerous occasions regarding the concern.
When was the last time she told you that?
I spoke to her last week.
What day?
Last week, Wednesday.
Mr. Abrams, any redirect? Oh, excuse me, Mr. Weisenberger, any redirect?
Clarify for me, if you will, Mr. Claus. Ali Mintiakos, you referred to her as your financial advisor?
Yes, the financial advisor of the Governor of Guam.
Is she employed by GITA?
She's employed by GITA.
She is, okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't clear on that. I understand that Mr. Perez, Larry Perez, requested from you a statement regarding substantial interest. Is that
yes, right. She did. He did.
And even though his request was assuming there was a substantial interest, did he in any way direct to you that you had to agree with him and find for substantial interest?
I'm sorry,
did he direct you in any way?
He didn't direct us.
He didn't direct you.
He did not.
Okay. Whether or not there was a substantial interest for the government of Guam from the Guam Economic Development Authority was really your call, is that correct?
Yes, it's our call.
I have no further questions.
Ms. Chang, your redirect.
Mr.
Glass? We have a brief recess, I'm sorry. Go ahead. The witness is just signing in the attendance sheet for this hearing. I apologize.
Okay.
And that is the attendance sheet for the OPA.
I'm going to object. I didn't ask any questions about the public law. This is beyond redirect.
Well, I'm not
okay. Please proceed.
Mr. Ball, you testified about municipal bonds, correct?
Yes.
And that we've been taxi bonds.
Yes.
And to want to issue municipal bonds, this is not required to be involved.
Yes.
And this would be any operator, any of the three operators that submitted bids for contemplating municipal bonds.
Would have taxed
this year.
Yes, correct.
And they couldn't have gotten the
taxes on
without you.
That's
right. And you justified Nate's role in working with IDC to get the funding for this project.
That's good.
And without getting into the details, but my question to you is, have any of the other operators to a student and said that they need help to get taxi municipal bonds, GITA would have done the same thing and played the same role that it did for IDC that it would for any other bank operator. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
there any recross?
No.
Do we have one question from the public auditor?
Mr. Blass, you testified that you went to New York to sell Guam's story.
Yes.
In preparation for that visit, was there any other information that was provided to the investors? Was there usually, I know when we did the last one, Deloitte had to prepare audited financial statements.
Yes,
okay. Was there any other information similarly requested or provided to the potential investors?
Yes, we provided information that we had our own presentation for this project issue, and we, all of that were included and given to all the investors to have some comfort on whether on our story.
Was there any updated financial information provided to the investors?
Yes, there was some updated information there.
Do you recall as of what period or and who prepared the financial information?
On the financial issue, our director of your budget and management, Bertha Dennis, can speak specifically on that. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our financial advisor as well.
Did do you recall if Deloitte themselves provided any updated information?
In preparation for our story, you know, we wanted to get the updated information from Deloitte, and in order for us to the more updated our numbers are better for our story.
So Deloitte did prepare something.
We did prepare something.
Was it an opinion?
That's something one of us that can speak specifically on that. I don't recall.
Okay. But to your knowledge, Deloitte prepared some kind of document.
The cost of communication to get the updated approval of the numbers and in fact, she gave the numbers and gave the go ahead. And they provide it directly to the Bureau and also our financial advisor.
Is this something we could request later on? Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So, Mr. Blass,
essentially
you're going to be excused as a witness, but as these proceedings are still ongoing, I'm going to admonish you not to discuss your testimony with any other witnesses or the parties until these proceedings are complete. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you are excused.
Thank you, sir.
Subject to recall, of course. Mr. Abrams, your next witness. What are you going to call as your next witness?
The deputy superintendent of the
office. Certainly. Before she begins, does anybody know where the exhibits are in front of Mr. Voss? They didn't go. Can you?
That was my responsibility.
Okay, there. I think, Mr. Voss, could you please return our exhibits, please? Could you please show them to Mr. Cunliffe? Mr. Cunliffe, are those the exhibits that you presented with him?
Okay.
Yes.
Unaltered? Okay. All right, there we go. Thank you very much.
Okay. Please state your name in full. Rachel Dumpinkle. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Evans, please proceed.
My name is Arlene Rages Umpinkel.
And where do you work, Mrs. Umpinkel?
I work for the Department of Education.
As what, please?
Deputy Superintendent for Educational Support and Community Learning.
Fine. And for how long have you been the Deputy Superintendent?
I would be going on 1 year in December.
All right. In your capacity as deputy superintendent, have you had occasion to learn about the rebuild of the JFK High School project?
Yes, when the superintendent of education calls for a deputies meeting, and she does keep the deputies in check with what's been happening.
Okay, Mr. Abrams, I'm sorry. We're gonna Mr. Speaker. We're gonna have you. Put your notes aside.
Oh, okay.
Completely aside. Mr. Evans, could you please take that from the witness?
Please what?
Take that from the witness as a stand, as those are not exhibits and we don't know what those documents are.
Now, in the course of your duties as deputy superintendent, have you had opportunities to gain knowledge about the temporary JFK facility?
Only when the superintendent of education, meets with the deputies, and she does give us the information.
And are you aware, generally speaking, of the conditions of the temporary facility?
Yes, because as deputy superintendent of education, I do go out to the schools and take a look at the monitor the facilities and communicate with the school administrators.
Well, so I think you've been to visit the campus of the temporary facility before. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
And based on your observation of what that campus consists of, do you have an opinion as to whether it gives the students who go there an adequate public education?
Yes, I can render an opinion.
What is that?
And that opinion is that currently the facilities do not meet the Adequate Education Act.
And in what respects do you feel that it's substandard or not conformed with the act?
Well, a case in point would be the chemistry lab. Currently, the students do not have the opportunity to conduct their experiments because the facility does not have the necessary lab resources in the classroom to have that to conduct their experiment.
Are there any burners in is there any lab? When I say lab, I'm talking about a facility with Bunsen burners and petri dishes and microscopes. And, I'm no chemistry teacher. In fact, that was my worst subject in school. I know what a lab looks like. Is there a lab like that out there at JFK?
No, there's not.
Not even one?
There's not even one lab. As a matter of fact, the classroom size for the chemistry lab is not conducive for experiments. It's quite too small.
Okay, then. Is there a library out there at the school?
Currently, there is no library. And when we're talking about library, what I mean is library resources, textbooks that the students can check out or go in to conduct their research.
So no chemistry lab and no library. Just on Bingo, based on those two observations and any other observations you may have had out of the school, do you feel it's in the substantial interest of the territory at large to proceed with all haste in the reconstruction of the JFK facility at its original site?
Yes, I believe, based on my experience out of JFK currently, that the students need to have, they need to be provided with that adequate education, having the resources that they need and be able to have that environment to learn what it is that the curriculum is set out for them to learn.
Would it be fair to say that the existing facility, the Guam students who go there, are suffering from the lack of an adequate education?
I believe so.
And that's 2,300 students who are suffering from the lack of it, right?
Right. I'm looking at over 2,000 students.
I have no further questions.
Any direct examination, Ms. Ting?
Yes.
You had specified that you visited campus.
Correct.
Earlier today, Mr. Perez, our Perez, specified that the original design, the building was designed for an office, and the Tiedemann facility got it. And was that your observation as well when you visited campus?
That it's designed for an office space?
Yes.
I would think so. I mean, if the classroom size, for example, is quite too small. I mean, we're looking at 900 square feet to have an appropriate space for the students, especially at a high school, to be able to accommodate 28 students.
28? How many? Oh, per class?
Per class.
And the hallways, I assume you walked through the hallway?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Was it your observation that the hallway is not typical of a high school? It's quite narrow.
Correct.
And that, I think someone, would you agree that it was about 5 feet wide in some areas?
I don't have that answer right now.
Okay.
I took a look at the classroom space and other learning areas.
So when kids get out of class, they all get out of class pretty much at the same time. So you're going to have an inflow of students from classes in the hallway. And you're going to have easily 2,000 of them in the hallway. And now a hallway is used for an office. It's not suitable for a school.
Well, I'm trying to visualize the hallway space right now. And given that we're also dealing with high school students and not elementary, you know, if I don't have the accurate measurement, but you know, I can say that it's probably not conducive for high school students.
Okay. Now, did you have occasion to visit the cafeteria?
Yes, I have.
And did you have any concerns about the cafeteria?
Well, what I saw in the cafeteria, you know, you have those, I'm not quite sure whether that's part of the air conditioning unit, but it's the setting is right within the cafeteria. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Are you aware that the cafeteria presently, I think, maybe 300 or 400 students per setting?
It's quite small for a high school.
So, yeah, 300 students in school, correct?
That's correct.
And are you aware that many kids actually don't have lunch because they can't find food in the cafeteria?
Let me just go back to the enrollment. I'm going to say at least, I'm looking at the total enrollment was probably, and I don't have the exact number, but I'm looking at over 2,000 students.
Okay.
So, you know, when you said 2,300, yes. Yeah.
And that because of the space limitation in the cafeteria, and because normal lunches are, let's say, 35 to 45 minutes, and a number of those students will not be except in the cafeteria.
It's a small cafeteria setting for that many students.
Okay. And are you also aware that there are no overhangs where, when it rains, that kids can get covered.
That's correct.
And so a lot of them get stuck in the rain, especially in the season.
They're going to end up getting wet.
Okay. And have you seen the gymnasium?
Yes.
And do you think it's adequate?
It's not adequate. There's no bleachers. It's small. And what's really cumbersome there is that you have a machinery that's situated on the corner of that gymnasium. So when the students are playing basketball, you run the risk of a student probably injuring themselves. So it's quite small. You don't have bleachers in there. You won't be able to fit any bleachers in there. That's my observation of the gym.
Mr. Pumpkin, I think it's somewhere with the lots of accreditation.
Yes.
And just for the benefit of the OP, lots is the Western Association of School Committees or
accreditation.
Well, in college, sorry. And but the Exhibit J to the government town is an expert from the JFK Law School. And Miss, may I approach? Can you speak
more into
the?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we're not picking up the recording.
All right. May I approach?
Please.
Miss, I'm going to show the exhibit.
Okay.
Is Exhibit J.
Can you please show that to Mr. Cullen first? I'm sorry. I'm okay. All right.
This is the excerpt from the JFK Law.
I have no objection.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that report?
Yes.
That portion of it.
Wait a minute, did you move to admit it?
I'm going to do it now.
Oh, okay. I'll just
now,
go ahead.
I'd like to move to admission. That's Exhibit J
as in Jack. Okay. Exhibit J is admitted pursuant to stipulation of the parties. Please proceed.
Okay. Give away all my copies, so I'm going to come on. Miss, Mr. Simpson, I'd like to suggest you what is the first sheet is the cover sheet.
Okay.
And at the very top it says limited term revisit.
Okay.
Visiting committee report.
Okay.
And this is a revisit because, is it because JFK accreditation is subject to a revisit?
Yes, it is.
And why is it subject to a revisit?
Because you always, and this is just part of what the committee needs to go out and verify the recommendations and the report that was submitted to the committee.
Okay. And if you look at the middle of the front page, it says April 20th to 21st, 2009. Is that the day of the visit?
I'm not sure. It probably is. I don't have my notes to be able to review this. But more than likely, it is.
Are you aware of a visit by the WASC accreditation from this year?
Yes.
All right. And Mr. Duncan, if I go to page 2, please, of this document, Exhibit J. The first item on the top of that page, I'm sorry.
Page 2?
Right after the cover sheet. Right there. That's it.
This one.
Yes.
Page 11.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, page 11 is marked in the document. It is, there's a section called environment. And is this is it your understanding that the WASC accreditation team evaluates the school on different factors, one of which is in its environment?
That's correct.
And this is part of their report on the environment, their observations and recommendations from their visit.
Yes. Wherever the committee goes out for their visit, it's going to be on wherever that JFK is situated. So in this case, it was up at GW High School.
When it was the accreditation was done? correct?
Correct.
And this is when they were doing the joint session?
Correct.
And right under the environment, it says action plan area for growth, environment for an improve the physical conditions of JFK High School to obtain student achievement and programs, close quote. And that, an action plan, is your understanding that an action plan that is promulgated by or put into a report by the WASC is really a directive on their part saying, we need to get this done?
Yes, it is.
Right. Now, if you look right under that, it says, JFK High School has established a task force to work with the other stakeholders to support reconstruction of the school as a original campus site.
Okay.
Correct?
Correct.
Now, is that your understanding of their recommendation for the action plan?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Any recommendation that the committee reports out, the schools need to follow through with that. They run the risk of losing accreditation if those recommendations are not addressed.
Okay. Now let's go to the next section, recommendation. Priority and or additional areas for improvement. Now, when it says priority and additional areas for improvement, you're understanding that, you know, this is something that needs to get done. This is something that JFA or the government, or, I'm sorry, for continuing accreditation, that must be achieved or attained.
Correct.
And it says here, the first bullet point, DPW task force and all stakeholders need to continue to advocate for the new building to be completed as soon as possible. Correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, during the visit this year, the kids, it was already a done deal that they would be in the interim facility, correct?
That's correct.
He's in correct
That's correct.
Facility. And so, I'm sure had the WASC people, WASC committee thought that was adequate, they could have noted that in this report. Is that correct?
That's right, but it wasn't, you know, they wouldn't have been able to go out. It wasn't complete.
I see. And so, this WASC, continuing WASC, this report, the continuing accreditation for JFK is contingent on one of the action plan items, which is reconstruction of the school ASAP.
Right. They need to take a look at all of the recommendations and make that determination. So yes, it's really critical that, you know, the recommendations are followed through.
And is it your understanding, Mrs. Zampinko, that if you change the location of the school on a permanent basis, you relocate the school, that you actually have to report that? It's a substantive change. That change must be reported to WASC.
I don't have that information right now, but I'm sure that it's something that WASC really needs to have. You know, I mean, they need to be kept in the loop with what's going on at the school site. I need to verify that information.
Okay. And aside from, you know, having a brand new school, which I think all kids would love, the WASC accreditation is very important for each student, for every student on the line, and in the public school system, correct?
Especially for high school.
And why is that?
Because, you know, if students plan to pursue college, they need to come from an accredited school.
And if it's not accredited, what happens?
Then they run the risk of, then they're going to have some challenges being admitted into college or the university.
So there's long-term impact.
Of course.
Thank you. I'm sorry, where did that admit? I'm sorry. It was admitted, right?
That was admitted by student.
Thank you.
Mr. Como, any cross-examination?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Mrs. Zampinko.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. You were talking about the conditions of the facilities that are currently housing the JFK students. And I presume that you would agree that the conditions they're in now are better than double sessions at GW?
They both have their challenges. But I do know that at least at GW, they do have a lab. They have a lab for the students to be given the opportunity to conduct experiments and report their experiments.
And in the request
for proposal for this temporary JFK school, did the government ask for a chemistry lab?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Would you...
I, that's something...
I told you that they removed it because they didn't want it. Would you know that?
I mean, I would think... I mean, I don't... I'm going to state that I don't think that a school administrator would say that they don't need a lab or they don't want a lab. Because the lab is part of the curriculum.
But if it wasn't in the RFP... the request for the new school. You don't know if that's the case or not.
I'm not sure if that's part of the or not part of the RFP, but I'm sure that if that wasn't, then I'm sure that the school administrator would ensure that that's communicated, that there needs to be a lab.
And do you know whether that's been communicated, that they need a lab?
Yes.
And is there any work in progress to put a lab in there, do you know?
I'm not sure exactly without looking at the documentation, but I'm sure that there is a punch list wherein these are the areas that, you know, needs to be provided to ensure adequate education for the students.
You also indicated that there's no library books.
The library books are housed at the old facility because there's no room to house all those library books and at the same time have students in the library to conduct their research.
And do you know whether the RFP requested a library space?
Yeah, that's important to have a library.
I would agree with you, but the question I asked you is, do you know whether the RFP that was issued requested library space?
I'm not sure. I would have to take a look at the RFP.
Now, the facility in Timuning that was condemned did not provide an adequate education, did it?
Objection, Dave.
It's beyond the scope of your application.
Mr. Chairman?
They've asked whether this body needs to issue a certain decision based upon the adequacy of the facilities, is what they're now talking about. And I think it's important, if we're going to compare, that we come to the conclusion that did it need to be done sooner than this? Are we moving in the time is of the essence frame that they seem to indicate is necessary, or, you know, now... as is usual in governments, you know, something moves to the front burner and becomes absolutely necessary when it should have been perhaps done 10 years ago. But, you know, the situation is they're trying to allege that the facility is inadequate and therefore the interest of the government is to, you know, create this need, from substantial need to the government so that the OPA's office can issue this order to issue the contract.
You know, overrule the objection. Please proceed, Mr. Cummings.
Thank you. Was the previous facility at JFK was housed in adequate?
We're talking about the old site, JFK. I would say yes, because they did provide the library for the students, and they also had their lab.
It was also condemned because it was unsafe?
It didn't meet the requirements of the regulatory agencies.
Okay. And gymnasium was dangerous and the kids couldn't be in there?
I don't have the information regarding the gymnasium for the old site.
Now, since this April 21st document, it says April 20th, 21st on it from WASP, which is Exhibit J. Since that time, the JFK has gotten its accreditation for the next 2 years, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, they were given accreditation. but they would still have to report their progress on the recommendations.
And the recommendation on page 11 that you were read before is that the DPW task force and all stakeholders need to continue advocating for a new building to be completed as soon as possible. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the same bullet that you've read.
Right. And that's what DPW and JFK is doing in these proceedings. Is that correct?
For a new building, that would meet the standards and the recommendations outlined by the WASP team committee.
Right.
So it can be a new building, but if it doesn't meet the recommendations or the standards of the WASP, then it, you know, we run the risk of not having an accredited school for our students.
No, I understand, but my question is that's what DOE and JFK is doing in this proceeding. They are continuing to advocate for a new building to be completed as soon as possible.
That's correct.
And so you're meeting the recommendations of WASP.
But see, you can have a new building, sir, but if you do not have the standards necessary to provide adequate education for the students, then you run the risk of not having an accredited school. And the schools have to report on the progress of these recommendations. They don't just wait until the next visit. So they have to, you know, if they're not meeting the requirements, for example, of not having a lab and the students are not conducting their experiments, then they have to report this out. It may also prompt another visit.
I understand. But my point is that you are sitting here today because you are advocating for a new building to be built at JFK.
That's correct. But I'm also, with that new building or new facility comes the requirements in order to ensure adequate education for our students. And not having a lab is not an adequate education.
Are you advocating a building without a lab?
What I'm trying to say here, sir, is that with the new building, because you can provide a new building per se, but if you don't have the requirements in order to carry out the curriculum and the recommendations by the WASP team, then, you know, we're not meeting their expectations.
And you're not here advocating for a building without a lab or a library, are you? You want a new lab and a new library and a new building.
Yes, we definitely want all those things for our students.
And that's what you and the administration of Department of Education are advocating for.
Yes, a new building with the facilities that the students need.
And that's in compliance with the recommendation made by WASP.
Can you please repeat that question?
You're doing what WASP asked you to do.
Yes, to advocate for new building to be completed as soon as possible. That's correct.
Okay. That's the question I was asking you.
Okay.
Okay. So you are complying with what WASP is asking you to do.
Yes, but I just need to expand on that, if I may. And I just, you know, with a new building, we need to ensure that the new building is equipped to carry out the curriculum that the students need to meet.
And WASP makes a number of other recommendations on these two pages that have been admitted as Exhibit J. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing here. I haven't, you know, there's other reports, but, you know, if I have a little bit more time, I can briefly go through this. But yes, there are other recommendations here noted by the WASP team.
And those are also necessary to be complied with in order to maintain your accreditation.
Correct.
Well, it's in the order, Mr. Abrams. Redirect.
The accreditation document we have will be now based on the GFK presence in GW. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
They didn't base their accreditation on where they are now, did they?
That's correct.
And if they, what's your opinion as an educator as to whether they would sustain their accreditation if they based it on the current temporary facility with no library, unsafe gymnasium, no chemistry lab? Do you think they would still accredit the high school, or do you think they would? Well, if we had to pick one, which would it be?
I'm going to say no. That's probably what they're going to take a look at. That's probably what they're going to recommend.
And if that happened, would the students that graduated from that facility graduate from an accredited or unaccredited high school?
I'm going to say no. If they don't recommend accreditation, then the students will not be graduating from an accredited high school.
That's going to affect their chances of getting into a good university?
That's correct.
There was a library at GW, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. Or there is.
Okay, well, Ms. Tang, let me, okay, so no,
there we go. You're welcome.
I have one question.
Mr. Concho, may I follow up on that before you do it? That would be okay.
Go ahead.
Thanks, I just, so.
Open a half recross? Okay, go ahead.
So is it your testimony that it would be better for the students to go back to GW where they're accredited than to stay in the new facility?
I think, in my opinion, I believe that the students should have their own facility, their own JFK facility.
That wasn't my question. My question was, based upon your testimony that they're accredited at GW, would it be better for them to go back there rather than stay in the new facility that they're interimly in?
But see, if you
state the testimony, the accreditation was done while they were there, looking at JFK as the ultimate site. GW wasn't being accredited for that purpose.
That wasn't the question or the answer that Mr. Abrams elicited. He said that they were accredited at GW, not at the new location.
That's right.
Okay.
What Mr. Cummins said was right.
Okay, well, I'm going to overrule the objection.
Thank you.
You may proceed, Mr. Cummins.
The question is, between the interim location at Tejan or double sessions at GW, which do you think is more appropriate for the students?
Since I can't say that they need to have their own facility, JFK, right?
They don't. I mean, we don't.
Yeah.
That's not an option right now.
Yeah, since I can't, you know, possibly say that, then of course it's going to be GW because they do have the facility to provide that they have the lab, they have the library.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. Just ask. Mr. Abrams, any redirect?
No.
Any, Ms. Tang, any?
No. Okay.
Mrs. Ombinko, at the temporary facility, are you aware, are other plans underway to try to get, let's say, library books and other things that you found that are inadequate at the school, at the temporary location?
Even if we were to bring the books over, transport the books from the old JFK site to the new ones, we don't have the space to house those books.
Is there some kind of library right now?
There's just a room with computers. We don't have library resources for students to come in and do their research other than using the computer.
one of the recommendations on the law, now of course I recognize this was for GW, but let me just read it. Teachers need to continue to be creative and resourceful in order to meet student educational needs while temporarily located at an alternative school site. So going back to your statement earlier that you feel it probably would be better for them to stay at GW as opposed to where they're temporarily located now?
I'm going to say because they do have the facility at GW and they don't have that facility at the site, the current site.
Have you utilized the maximum space that's available up at TJ? Are there any additional rooms there that could be used for a library, but everything is maxed out?
Everything is maxed out.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Unfinkel, I just have one question.
Okay.
Would WASC accredit or continue JFK's accreditation at their temporary campus in Tijan?
They would have to come out and conduct a visit. I mean, they have to come out and take a look at the facility.
In your opinion, if they did that, would they continue JFK's accreditation?
Just in my opinion, because
just
I can't speak
opinion.
For them. I'm going to venture to say no because of the need to have those opportunities for the students. They don't have the library. They don't have the chemistry. I mean, the lab.
Thank you, Ms. Mpinko. And I'm going to admonish you to basically, as these proceedings are not concluded yet, not discuss your testimony to the other witnesses or with the parties until these proceedings have concluded. You are at this time excused from this proceeding, of course, subject to recall by the parties.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And please leave the exhibits there. Okay, we are going to go off the record and take a break at this time, as we discussed earlier. We're going to reconvene at 2:30 this afternoon. Are there any other issues of parties feel need to be brought up at this time before lunch?
If I may be heard, Mr. Kamatsa.
Yes, Mr. Weisberg.
Mr. Kamatsa, during the cross-examination of Mr. Perez, Mr. Cunliffe referred to one or two federal cases, which he, by the way, had not cited in his brief. And secondly, he made an assertion about Guam law, which was incorrect, and that was that there was no case law relative to substantial interest, also incorrect. And so I'd like the opportunity during the break to come back with a brief, a very brief statement of law regarding the cases that he cited, which I believe were not cited correctly, and the law that is applicable, which we had cited in our brief. If you would allow us to do that, or at least prior to the end of the hearing, whenever that may be, because it seems to me our witness was put at a big disadvantage to be cross-examined on case law that, first of all, isn't relevant to this proceeding, and secondly, wasn't cited, and third, was cited inappropriately. And we'd like an opportunity to respond.
Okay, the pleadings for this issue are actually already closed, and you were given your opportunity for a reply. Of course, if you want to address that, it would best be addressed in your closing argument.
It's hard to reply, Mr. Kamatsa, to cases that are not cited until we come to a hearing and then they're laid on us during the hearing.
May I propose something? If I understand you correctly, Mr. Kamatsa, you're not going to consider even the cases that were cited by Mr. Cunliffe today as being untimely. Would that be correct?
No, actually, as he presented them in the oral arguments for that. I'm going to allow you to respond, but I believe it's most appropriate that matters such as that can be responded to in your closing arguments.
Verbally.
Okay? Verbally. Okay.
So you are going to consider those cases and the ones that we would, and the argument that we have based on those cases in our closing, but without any...
Okay, what I consider is the actual testimony of the witnesses, which is the actual evidence. Okay?
Would you like to talk to the witnesses? Well, what kind of the cases did the cases have? The ones we've talked about in the
testimony. Okay, I'd like, Mr. Cuddle, in response to that?
They
consume
the case, but I don't
have a
problem with that.
All right. Very well.
Thank you.
Okay, we will reconvene at 2:30.
Can we read our materials here?
Yes.
We'll have it live.
Okay, we're going to go off the record at 1:12.
There is nobody here. We don't have the ability to lock it, though, but I don't think
I'm not worried about it. I was more worried about whether you object.
No.